Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sports Tonight on BSL Radio. Join Rob Shields and Mike Weber as they talk about the Baltimore Orioles, Baltimore Ravens, University of Maryland Terrapins, and more. Be part of the show. Call us at 347-215-8391.
Hello and welcome to the show. I am Rob Shields, and Mike Weber is off this week. He could not do the show with us, so BSL owner and founder Chris Stoner is joining us to co-host. And in a little bit, we will also have Seth Bondroff on to call in as well. Today is going to be all about the NCAA tournament. We're going to break down the tournament, the brackets, pick upsets, and then eventually our predictions. So we're going to start off talking about Maryland. Maryland drew the 4 seed in the Midwest. They get Valparaiso in the first round. Valparaiso is a team from, you know, they've had a lot of tournament success. They've got a very good defense. They're top 40 in defensive efficiency this year. They won 28 games. They know how to win. Not the easiest of 13 seeds, but, you know, also it's a game that I think a lot of Maryland fans have to feel pretty good about. So, Chris, first of all, before we get started on the game, you're a Maryland fan. They haven't been to the tournament a whole lot since they won the national title back in 2002, and then they haven't been for the last several years. So what is just your level of excitement just to have them back in the tournament?
Rob, great to be with you. Like you said, you know, first time since 2009, 2010, Maryland's in the tournament. And I've heard you in prior weeks talking about what a great time of year this is for a sports fan. Total agreement. I mean, you got everything you could want, especially if you're in the tournament. I'm watching the NIT right now, and while I can actually get into the NIT a little bit, I'm certainly glad to see Maryland not a part of that tournament this year. Really looking forward to Friday and seeing Maryland back in the dance. And, you know, I have been looking at Valpo a little bit, but, you know, for me, it's about Maryland. And they played well down the stretch, winners of 8 of 9, the ninth being going out in the semifinals of the Big Ten. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do against the Crusaders. I do think it will be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, when you look at what Valparaiso's resume looks like, they're actually, if you look in the KenPom rating, they're actually ranked pretty high, especially for a 13 seed. They're 63rd overall. You know, there aren't that many double-digit seeds that are above them, especially for mid-majors. I mean, Stephen F. Austin is 35th. You've got schools like Mississippi and UCLA and Indiana, but Buffalo is a 12. But none of those teams are 13 seeds. They're the highest-ranked 13 seed on KenPom, I believe. So, and
see a lot of the analysts is saying the same thing, and you know, a lot of the people are pointing to this as a possible upset, and you understand that, you know. If you're looking at those KenPom ratings, Maryland has the second highest in, you know, luck, which a lot of it is, it kind of reminds of the Orioles in 2012 about winning a lot of close games. And, of course, with Maryland, that factor was having the ball in Trembles and Wells' hands down the stretch and them both being able to create and being good foul shooters. And that was able to help in close and late games, but certainly their record, I mean, in close and late, you know, I think it's 11-0 with 6 points or less. That's probably slightly inflated over what you would expect. So you understand that.
Well, you know, I mean, I think a lot of Maryland fans have said all year that they felt the Terps were maybe a little overranked, and I don't think that's really a slight against them. I think part of it is the Big Ten was down, and part of it is the fact that they were able to win some close games, and maybe there's some games where they shouldn't have been close, like the Northwestern game, for example. But
they were a team that wasn't capable of blowing people out, and that certainly impacted their. And you look at their adjusted offense, adjusted defense. I mean, they're not a glamour team. They were able to score some inside, but that was with their guards really pushing the ball inside. They didn't have a consistent low post presence, and that definitely impacted them all year. But the Big Ten, even though it was probably, no more than the fourth best power conference. They did get seven teams into the tournament, and yeah, I think Maryland. If you looked at the overall seedings that they did for the teams after the tournament, Maryland's record was fairly comparable. I guess I am a little bit surprised they didn't get the three seed, but as the bracket broke, even though they have drawn Kentucky, I'm pretty comfortable with the Terps being the fourth seed there, and we'll see what happens those first two rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they have any daunting games in the first weekend. They certainly could lose to any of the three teams that are there, but they're not overly difficult. You know, there were some four or five seeds, much tougher matchups, I would think. You know, going back to Valparaiso, the one thing that you can say about them, even though they won a lot of games, they didn't really beat anybody. I mean, the best team they probably beat was Murray State, and they destroyed them. They beat them by 35, which is pretty impressive. I mean, Murray State, a lot of people thought, could have made the tournament anyway. But the only out-of-conference or big-name school, so to speak, were Missouri, who wasn't really that good this year, and they lost to them by 15, and New Mexico, who is not as good as they normally are, and they lost to them by 17. So I think Maryland fans, close games or not, Maryland showed that they know how to win, and that's really important, especially come tournament time. So I think you have to like Maryland's chances as long as this is a close game with 5 minutes left, even though you don't want to have the little schools believing that they can win.
Yeah, one factor in Valpo's favor is that Maryland's just a middling rebounding team. Crusaders are both good on both sides of the glass, offensively and defensively. Maryland's going to have to do some work there. Defensively, Maryland, under Turgeon, they don't get a lot of steals. They don't force a lot of turnovers. They like to, sit back more. So if you're not getting, if you're not controlling the boards and you're not getting turnovers, and just the way the tempo for both teams figures to be, it probably will be a close game with, you're looking 5, 6, 7 minutes left, and we'll see if Maryland can pull away at that point.
Yeah, and this isn't, a lot of these mid-major schools, a lot of times one of the worries is, they shoot a lot of threes, they shoot free throws well. Well, they shoot 68% from the free throw line. They're only 46% from the field. They make 38% of threes, but they're not like an overly great scoring team, which is something that, these mid-major schools that pull off these upsets, a lot of times it's the scoring that helps. Now, they actually have good size for mid-major, which is a little unusual, but they, when you look at them, their best player, Alec Peters, averages almost 17 a game. He's shooting 46% from three, getting almost 7 boards. He's going to be somebody who they're going to have to contain. But, beyond that, you have to like Maryland's chances of, if Maryland can get to 70, you have to feel pretty good about it kind of getting into that point where Valparaiso just isn't going to be able to score enough points.
Yeah, 70's kind of been the line all year for Maryland. For the Horizon League Awards, I mean, I see that they had the Defensive Player of the Year as their center. They had the Sixth Player of the Year forward. Of course, you pointed out there, Alex Peters there on the first team. They also, on the freshman team, they had a guard. And, of course, you start thinking about tournament time, and one of the iconic memories you have is Bryce Drew there in Valpo, that shot you see a million times every tournament. I kind of look at this game as a way I looked at a lot of the tournament this year. I picked a lot of chalk, but I saw a lot of games that, it could go either way. Their teams are not – there's not a lot of difference between, from like 5 to 68. It's just on a given night. Now, if they were playing a series, it would be different. But on a one-game setting on a neutral floor, but if they do get past that, everybody's been talking about Buffalo as a possible upset of West Virginia. In the one bracket that I've done, I did wind up picking West Virginia over Buffalo and over Maryland, mainly because of the Huggins, and I know his pressure defense, and I do think that would give Maryland problems. But like you said, any of the three teams in that little pod could take Maryland out, but it certainly shouldn't surprise anybody if Maryland gets to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I think Maryland is the best team out of that group. The question is are any of those bad matchups for them? I mean, because that's what the tournament is all about. And, you know, you're right. Look, beyond the 116 games, what, other than those four games, I think anybody can really lose. I mean, there are some 215 games even that are like, these are a little dangerous. Like, I don't think Arizona would lose. But, I mean, you know, and we'll get more into the brackets, but, I mean, Virginia with Justin Anderson being what he is against Belmont. Now, this is not as good a Belmont team as they've had, but, you know, this is a, they've got a coach who knows how to win. They know how to win in the tournament. New Mexico State.
Yeah,
and
I know there were some upsets that kind of eliminated some of the better, what would have been some of the better 15 or even 16 teams. But, we have seen a couple 15s pull off the upset. And even in recent years, while there hasn't ever been the one, I think you've started to see some of the 16s actually play with the ones for a little bit longer. It's probably only a matter of time until
yeah,
I don't think this will be the year, but it's probably only a matter of time until that happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, look, Purdue almost lost to what was Western Carolina when Glenn Robinson was there. I think they won like 72-70, and, you know, that's a game. You know, that Purdue was maybe a week one. I mean, that's what you need. You need a week one seed and a 16 seed that maybe is a 16 seed because the 14s and 15s were really strong. You know, something like that. Something like that will happen in one of these years, I think. You know, it's bound to happen at some point. It would be, I think it would just be awesome if it happened to Kentucky, but yeah, that's not going to happen. But I mean, as you look into Maryland potentially having to play Kentucky, I have heard some analysts say that that is a game that Kentucky, you know, could have some issues with. So obviously the front line is the big difference there, but, you know, what else do you look at there where you can sit there and say, I just don't see Maryland being able to pull this one off?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is if that game becomes if Maryland got to play Kentucky and that was a half-court game and Kentucky eliminated Maryland's ability to run and score in transition, then Maryland would have a very hard time putting up any amount of points, and that game could quickly get out of hand. Now, if they're just sitting there forcing Maryland to shoot threes and sit around outside because they're not getting anything inside, they're not able to get to the line with Wells and Trimble and Lehman trying to get their defenders into foul trouble. If they're not able to do that and they're just sitting out there chucking threes, that's going to be a long night. Now, if you can get running a little bit, you can get some points in transition, and you can actually, if you could get to the line a little bit, who knows? I mean, it's been said a million times this week, and it's totally true. If Kentucky plays their best game, no one's going to beat them. And if they play their B game, they're probably still going to beat pretty much everybody. But there have been a couple times this year where they've been off. There was two January games. They had the double overtime of A&M, and that was coming off of the overtime with Ole Miss. They had the game at Georgia fairly recently. I mean, you're nitpicking for a team that's 34-0, but on a given night, especially in a tournament, if you can keep it close and your players start to believe and their players start to feel a little bit tight, yeah, who knows? I mean, Maryland will be putting out Wells, Trimble, and Lehman. I mean, you're talking about three guys with pro potential, and Maryland has slayed giants before. It wouldn't completely shock me if Maryland found a way to be in that game, but you could also certainly see a way where that game would quickly get out of hand, too.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to worry about the size, and I think any team, if any team beats Kentucky this year, they're going to have to shoot lights out from three. You know, they're going, I mean, you know, there are very few teams that will be able to throw a low post presence at Kentucky where they have to really make them work. I mean, you know, for example, Duke could certainly deal with Okafor. The problem is Okafor's defense, he doesn't move as well defensively, and I could see him getting into foul trouble. as opposed to getting them into foul trouble. So, you know, that's the other problem. You need a, you know, at least with like Wisconsin, people point to them. They've got a big front line in general. I think that's like, you know, to be able, I mean,
see,
I think I heard.
Point to, we can get into that with Seth, but people point it to like Wisconsin as a matchup for Kentucky. And I know they played well in last year's tournament, but to me, I look at Wisconsin, I just don't see the athleticism for them to be able to handle that. And they're a very efficient offense, but defensively, they're going to get just murdered if they square off.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team. You know, Wisconsin has been, I mean, recently their defense has gotten better, but for most of the year, Wisconsin was in like the 50 to 70 range in the KenPom ratings, and like for example, like Duke has been too, but Duke is a lot more athletic than they are, and I tend to agree with you. I think the length and the size and just the athleticism of Kentucky would give them fits. I think Arizona is a much better chance coming out of the West to meet Kentucky in the Final Four and beating them than Wisconsin does.
Yeah, we can get into that more. I definitely agree. But as far as Maryland, we're going to keep it to Maryland, Kentucky. It would be, you know, obviously we know the three main players from Maryland, but then it's the secondary players, and you talked about being able to shoot three. So then you're looking at Nickens and Smotrit and Wiley and Pack, where they have to be able to score. They have to hit some shots to, you know, just to be in that game. And then your two big interior players, Don and Skowski, they have to be able to alter shots interior, not get just totally destroyed inside, not run, you know, not just be fouled out of the game pretty much immediately. It's a very difficult matchup. It would be, you know, I'm sure if the odds came out when they do these, like, ESPN's BPI, I'm sure it would be, I don't know, 80%. Does that sound right? I mean, it would be a...
Well, I just saw that Kentucky has an 81% chance, according to the BPI, of getting to the Final Four. So I think it might
okay,
be a little
so
higher than that. That's what you
mean. It's going to be difficult. I am interested of seeing them. I do have Purdue beating Cincinnati, and Purdue does have some, you know, a couple of athletic bigs. I don't think they don't have enough of their roster to beat Kentucky, but I'm interested to see how their bigs match up.
Yeah, that to me is an intriguing matchup. Purdue is probably on par with as good a team as Kentucky played in the SEC all year. You know, the SEC is not strong. I mean, LSU, they're in the tournament. They, you know, they're a up and down team. You know, you're not really sure what you're getting out of them. Georgia's very similar. So, I mean, you know, Purdue is probably on equal footing with any of those teams. So I think that would be a good second round matchup for Kentucky, because it'll get them to play like a real team early, or sort of real team. But I think they did get lucky. They could have gotten if they had to play the winner of, you know, they wouldn't have gotten LSU, but if it was NC State and another really good 9 seed or something, I think that would have made it a little bit more difficult on them. So I think they actually got a pretty decent draw there, even though Purdue will be a smart team.
As we wait for Steph, just put a bow on Maryland. I mean, and it is it's been a great year. This has been a long time coming. You know, we spent a long time, you and Mike, hosting last March when the season was ending, and you see the departures, and you know, even with the years left on Turgeon and Maryland's issues financially as an athletic department, you're wondering, like, can you keep him on if you don't make the tournament again? And I wanted to see it work, but you know, you begin to have doubts, and what you see is that, well, you did look better with the departures. I did feel better about Maryland by the time the camp was starting, mainly because you kept hearing about how advanced Trimble was, and that wound up being accurate. But if Trimble's not a first team All Big Ten, you know, caliber player, you know, as a freshman, you know, maybe Maryland isn't NIT bound again, or, you know, they didn't even get to the NIT last year, but maybe you are an NIT team and you really wonder where the fan base would be at that point. But things have worked out, and I think you can use this as a catalyst for the program going forward. We'll see if there's any departures with either Trimble or Lehman that would set Maryland back. But if those two are back and you add Carter, then Terps should be in pretty good shape next year.
All right, let's welcome Seth in. Seth, what's going on, man?
Hey, fellas. How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Seth. Always good to hear from you.
Thanks, bud. Back at you.
All right. Seth, for people who don't know, Seth is he's much older than Chris and I, so he's got a lot of wisdom about the older college basketball, about college basketball many, many years ago. So,
Let me turn on my hearing aid. Hang on one second.
So before we really get into the bracket, Chris and I kind of touched a little bit on Kentucky before you came on. I'm curious, one thing that I haven't heard anybody kind of talking about is how you would view this Kentucky team that's 34-0 versus the UNLV team that was 34-0 that Duke beat in the Final Four. So when you're looking at those two teams, what is your thought process in terms of seeing, okay, that UNLV team got beat. It was a close game, but they got beat, and people are saying Kentucky can't be beat. So how do you kind of look at those two situations?
I think if they played each other, all things being equal, if they played each other today, that UNLV team in their prime with Johnson and Augman and Hunt and Anthony and George Ackles as the starting five, and this current Kentucky team, I think this current Kentucky team wins the game by 20, if it's that close. I haven't seen anything, like in my fanhood, whatever, you know, going back to probably, all jokes aside, I could probably speak, you know, intelligently on college basketball since like 1983, I would say this Kentucky team is the best team I've ever seen by far. And I think they would destroy that UNLV team. I think the 1984 Carolina team was better than that UNLV team. I think some of those Georgetown teams in the early 80s would have beaten that UNLV team. And this Kentucky team, I mean, they're just, it's the size. I mean, there's just, you can't compare them to anybody, like I said, at least in my quote-unquote fanhood. You just can't. Even the best teams in recent, like that 09 Tar Heel team or those Duke teams with the 92 Duke team, like, it's not even comparable. This team is just, in my opinion, just, and there's certainly no way to really quantify it, but I think this team is far above those teams.
Yeah, UNLV, they were in the Big West at that point, was that right?
Big West, right. Mm-hmm. Alfie Fullerton and Long Beach State when Seth Greenberg was there, like that's who they would play in the finals of that conference. Fresno State was
And I'm sure they had a strong out-of-conference schedule, but, even for the SEC not being one of the highest power conferences, it's still a power conference. I mean, and I respect it a little bit more than...
UNLV used to play a couple games a year. Like, they had a lot of these preseason tournaments, not as many as they do today. But, it's like, if you go on YouTube, there was a game in 91 against Arkansas. That was, like, a huge game. It's supposed to be a big test for UNLV. That Arkansas team had three NBA players, Todd Day, Oliver Miller, and Lee Mayberry, if those names ring a bell. And Vegas went into Arkansas and just destroyed them. I mean, that was probably their best opponent that year. But they didn't play. They didn't play Duke or Carolina or Indiana or Kansas. They never played any of those schools until they got to the tournament.
So, Seth, when you're – I mean, obviously Calipari got lucky that a lot of the guys came back this year. I mean, there were three or four guys that could have left last year. That happens. That's good for him. If that would happen to other schools, you know, we might see more of this. But when you're evaluating Kentucky, what is the number one thing that impresses you the most about the team? Is it the play on the court? Is it just the talent? Is it the defense? What is it that just makes you go, wow?
The size. There's three guys up front, and then they bring in other 7-foot kind of huge guys. It's the size. You can't get a shot off. You can't get a good shot off against them. Like that's it's. So I guess a combination of the defense and the size. It's just it's. I'm trying to find a word to describe it. I don't want to say it's perfect because obviously they're not perfect. As Ole Miss and LSU showed, they you can play with them. But when they flip on that switch, I mean, I love to root against them in this tournament. Of course, I'm going to root for you know, Hampton, whoever plays them Thursday. But yeah, just the size is so impressive. And that just gets every time. I feel like every possession, but they're on defense, you really have to work to get a shot. I mean, that Auburn game, I think, what was that, the semifinals on Saturday? I watched a little of that. And Auburn couldn't even get a shot. Like, they couldn't even get a good shot off. It was unbelievable.
And yeah, going back to the beginning of the year, seeing them against Kansas and just, you know, them dwarfing the Jayhawks, and you know, that kind of puts it in perspective, obviously, what Kansas has done consistently in Big 12.
That was ugly. That game was in early part of the season. And yeah, I've never seen anything like it. You can't get a good shot off them. And I keep racking my brain. I know we haven't gotten to the bracket yet, to try to find a way not to have them as a champion. It's just if anybody out there can find the team that beats them, God bless you. You deserve to win your bracket.
Yeah, I was telling Chris. I just saw before I got on here ESPN's BPI index that they have. There's an 81% chance that they make the Final Four. I mean, that's got to be the biggest number ever. I mean, for something like that. I mean, the fact that it's basically Vegas is basically 50-50, the field in Kentucky. I mean, Seth, I know you're into it. What is normally the highest percentage? So what is it, around 20% or something? Is that's
probably
about normal? Yeah.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen, because as everybody knows, I'm a Tar Heel fan. The 2009 Tar Heel team, with Hansbrough's senior year, with Lawson and Green and Ellington and those guys, they came into the tournament pretty much the favorite to win. That was the last time I can remember a team being like a somewhat heavy favorite to run through and win it. And they really did run through everybody. And I'd love to go back and see what the odds were before the 2009 tournament. All the other chances since then, you know, we've had a couple number one teams, but still, it wasn't. I can't remember a team being, quote-unquote, expected to win it all, like this Kentucky team, since that Tar Heel team in 2009. And I wish I could have seen the percentage then, but it was probably running close to 80, that's for sure. There's no way. Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into to these brackets here. We'll start off, since we're talking about Kentucky, we'll start off with the Midwest. Putting them aside for a second, Seth, we came on a little bit earlier and we were talking about Maryland.
Right.
So, why don't you assess where you see Maryland in their little pod there to get to the Sweet 16?
I have them beating Valpo, which I can't say I'm that well versed on Valpo, but I have them losing to West Virginia. I originally was going to put West Virginia losing to Buffalo, but that changed my mind at the last minute. I remembered Bobby Early coaches Buffalo. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I have West Virginia. Now, do we know if Staten is healthy? Slayton, I'm sorry. West Virginia's leading scorer missed the last game of the Big 12 tournament, if I'm not mistaken. So if he's healthy,
yeah, Huggins,
I have
believes,
West Virginia.
But, him and Brown would be available for the tournament.
Okay, so I personally have West Virginia beating Maryland in the second round, but I do think the Terps, assuming that they don't lose Trimble, are a top eight, you know, number two seed next year. I think Maryland's best days are definitely ahead of them. I would assume you guys agree on that, Chris. I'm sure you agree on that. They're definitely a team to watch next year.
I had the same picks you have there, Maryland over Valpo, and then West Virginia over Maryland. I do see a lot of people taking Buffalo, you know, because they're Hurley,
yeah.
I believe, kind of driving
the
12-5
that thing. Yeah.
I believe in Huggins, and I think for Maryland, that could be a tough matchup with their ball pressure. Wouldn't shock me. That, to me, is kind of a toss-up game, but I'll give the edge just to West Virginia and Huggins and the pressure, which I a few times Maryland has been pressured this year. It's been a struggle, especially any time Trimble's been on the bench. Yeah, as far as next year, if Trimble's back, they're in pretty good shape as long as Lame doesn't leave and you bring in Carter and they actually have a presence down low.
Yeah, they're going to need that for sure.
Yeah, people really like Buffalo. They're ranked in the top 50 in offense, and then they also, I think, are in the top 10 in possessions per game. Got a pretty good offense, but I heard a stat the other day that Huggins is 12-0 in the tournament when his teams are 5 seed or higher in the first round. So I think a lot of people are pointing to them as the team to win because you kind of have this team that can score and, you know, and you've got these small schools, they need to be able to score a lot of times to beat the bigger schools. But, you know, I West Virginia proved themselves in a very, very tough conference this year, and I kind of give them a little bit of an edge because of that. So looking at the other double-digit seeds, Texas, Indiana, is there anybody else in that bracket that you see, maybe not obviously beating Kentucky, but like who could make a run deep into this tournament?
I have Texas beating Butler. I know everybody, a lot of people are head over heels about Texas, but Texas had Iowa State beat Thursday night or whatever night that was in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 conference tournament. Iowa State had a crazy comeback. But I actually like Texas. I actually was close to putting Texas beating Notre Dame in the second round. I didn't do it, but I actually had them, you know, doing it. You got Taylor's healthy now. Turner's, they got a lot of talent on that team. And I definitely think they beat Butler, Rick Barnes aside. And I actually give them a shot of beating Notre Dame, but that's about as far as I go. I'm looking at my bracket now. And I mean, I have Purdue. They're a 9 over an 8, but that's nothing. And that's it. Like, I have Texas beating Notre Dame, and I was close to picking Texas beating Butler, excuse me, and I was close to having Texas over Notre Dame, but no, I have no double-digit speed in the Sweet 16.
I struggled with Butler, Texas. I know a lot of people like the size and athleticism of Texas. I went with Butler at the bottom of the bracket there, Rob. I did take Indiana over Wichita State and Indiana over Kansas. So,
really?
Yeah, going back to the Texas Notre Dame thing, I actually have Texas beating them. I don't really know what to think about Notre Dame because, look, you don't usually want to go against teams that are hot come tournament time, and Notre Dame is, obviously. My problem is Notre Dame is a jump shooting team with no size that doesn't play good defense, and I just struggle to trust them. I mean, look, I've been watching that team in Duke for the last 3 or 4 years, and they lose early in the tournament because that's what you are. If you get a little cold from the outside, you have nobody to go to down low, and you don't play good defense, you're in trouble. And I just don't trust them enough. And Texas, I don't trust Texas either. But Texas is a team that was a top 10 team. They're ranked 20th in KenPom. They're high in defensive and offensive efficiency. I mean, and they got pros. I mean, this is a really talented team. The other team in this bracket I cannot figure out is Kansas. I don't know. Part of me could see them running through to Kentucky, and another part of me can see them losing in the first round. I don't know what to think about Kansas. I actually think I'm going to take Wichita State in my bracket to beat them. But I also think that Indiana could too. But Indiana needs a lot of things to go right for them to win games, I think. Mainly they have to shoot lights out. They have to make 15 threes, I think, to win in this tournament. So I don't know what to think about Kansas at all.
I like Hoosiers because they're pretty athletic, and Kansas, I mean, with Cliff Alexander out and Perry Ellis being kind of hobbled, I just wavered on them. I usually take the Jayhawks pretty far. I certainly believe in the program. I just have the sense this year they're going out early.
They've been an all-or-nothing team, though, under Self in the tournament, you know, mm-hmm. since he's been there. Remember, they lost a few times. They lost to Bucknell. They lost to Northern Iowa. But they also, you know, they've also won a national championship and been to a few Final Fours. So they're not a team that you never know. They could lose, not lose to the 15 seed, but they could lose. But a lot of people, like on ESPN, I've been watching the experts the last few days. A lot of people have Kentucky and Wichita State as their Elite Eight matchup. I mean, more than I thought. A lot of people had that.
Yeah, that's mine.
There you go. I was a little surprised.
But I don't love – my problem is I don't – and that's my problem in a lot of these brackets. I don't like any of the teams. So, I see Wichita State, and I think – and, yes, they are not in a great conference, even though Missouri Valley is a good mid-major, but it's not a great conference. And they haven't beaten a lot of great teams, but I think they're underseeded. I think they're better than a lot of the team. Like, I mean, I just think they're better than a lot of these teams that are in front of them. And I think that there was a case for them to be a 5 or maybe or a 6, which isn't like a big difference, but it's enough of a difference where I can see them and they know how to win. You know, they've got veteran guys. I mean, I just I just don't really love any of these other teams, and I can just see Wichita State just going on another run simply because I don't, you know, like Chris talked about Kansas's problems. That's part of my issue with them. I just don't know what to think about them. I mean, Kansas could play Wichita State and beat them by 30. But they, one thing they had talked about, that's a game that Wichita State has been wanting to play, and, you know, the typical thing where Kansas, they're not going to play because there's nothing in it for them. So, you know, what is the mentality for Wichita State to go after? You know, they really want that game. Kansas probably wants it, too. I heard Jay Billis say, well, they probably want to shut him up because they get tired of hearing about it, and he's right. But, you know, that's that whole underdog small school thing where, you know, they have a bigger drive than they do. So I just think there's a lot of incentive there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, well, let's move to the West. We got Wisconsin, who got in as the one seed. Arizona is the two seed. Scrub team is the four seed. And then there's some other teams that you that can actually be pretty dangerous. So what do you think overall of this bracket?
Who are we talking to? Seth or Chris?
Either one of you. Both of you.
Let's talk at the same time. All right, I'll go first. I have in that bracket, my sleeper, and they could lose tonight, so by the time people are actually listening to this, I have BYU in the Sweet 16. Now, they could lose to Ole Miss tonight, who obviously we all know Ole Miss is the team to play Kentucky, besides LSU, the toughest this year. I like BYU. I have them in the Sweet 16. Other than that, I do have Ohio State over VCU. I know Ohio State's been very, very inconsistent this year, but I do like Ohio State over VCU. I want to pick North Carolina over Wisconsin for obvious reasons, but I think, much like Maryland, I think the Tar Heels are also a year away from being a top two seed in whatever reason they get to next year. Now, Carolina doesn't lose anybody off this team, but Maryland, of course, will lose Wells and maybe Kimball, but I feel like the Tar Heels are a year away, very inconsistent up all year, but I'd like to pick them over Wisconsin, but I don't think I'm going to. I didn't submit it yet.
Well, I did, Seth. I have
you did?
Them over. Over Wisconsin, my Elite Eight, Carolina and Arizona. Carolina will get Wisconsin running, and Wisconsin does not have the athletes to deal with that.
You're right, but Arkansas does in the second round. You're right about
Wisconsin. A lot of people picking Wofford over Arkansas. I'm kind of interested to see what happens there.
Yeah, people like that because Wofford won in – they won in NC State, and they played Duke well for a little bit of the game when they played him in Cameron. But I don't – the 5-12s, I can see it. I think Arkansas is too athletic for them, but you never know. I mean, look, better teams have lost to worse teams. So it's not like that it would be, like, huge. First of all, Seth, I am with you on BYU. You know, that game tonight, I don't know what the over is, but I would take it. You know,
158.
There you go. Neither team plays defense, and both teams score. So, but I really like BYU. I think BYU is one of the most dangerous double-seeded teams in this tournament. I also have them in the Sweet 16, and it wouldn't shock me if they gave Arizona a game because if they score, I know Arizona is very tough defensively, but Arizona can struggle to score at times. Even if they're an efficient offense, they struggle to put up a lot of points at times. So it wouldn't shock me if BYU gave them a game. I mean, they've got one of the better scorers in the country. They've got a guy who's got 6 triple-doubles this year, which is like more than anybody's ever had in their college career, and he's done it this year. It's crazy. You mentioned I have Ohio State over VCU, too. I really wish VCU was healthy because I think I have VCU in going to the Elite Eight or Final Four in some of these brackets if they're healthy. I really like that team. It's just a shame. They just don't have enough, and I can – you know, you could kind of see like D'Angelo Russell. I know Chris got to see Ohio State, what they did against Maryland. They certainly have the ability and everything. And, you know, Arizona is going to have a scary second game. Whoever they play, that's a scary game for them.
Chris Bacon would like it, but I also had BYU over Xavier, which I was kind of going back and forth on that. You could argue that, I think that's a pretty even game. Does Xavier benefit from having the additional rest and scouting? I kind of think there's something to be said about going ahead and getting a game out of the way and then the maturity and kind of the age of BYU to see them at least one of the games versus Gonzaga. Came away fairly impressed with them. But I have Baylor getting them in the next round. And if you didn't have Arizona there at the bottom, I would probably take Baylor pretty far. But I have Baylor over BYU in that next round.
Yeah, a lot of people are really pumping up Baylor, and I like them. The thing I like about the matchup with BYU is Baylor is a zone team, and that's going to be a little bit of an issue for them against BYU. But it wouldn't surprise me. Baylor is they're athletic, they're long, they always are. I mean, you know, it seems like they have the same team every year. And,
great offensive,
you know,
rebounding team.
Yeah, they really are.
Big.
They're definitely this is a tough bracket. You know, and going back to Wisconsin for a second here, Seth, when you see Wisconsin and, you know, everybody is really hyping this team a lot, do you think that they're getting a little overrated right now?
I do. I mean, they're good. I mean, obviously, they made the Final Four last year. They basically had the same team. And they went through, with all due respect to the listeners, to our fans here, it was a pretty weak Big Ten this year. You know, it's some good teams. So it was a fairly weak Big Ten. And, yeah, I do think they're getting a little overhyped. I mean, the game I watched, I mean, I've seen a few of their games this year, but the game I watched from start to finish was the Duke game. And that was – it was early in the year. But I just – yeah, that's why I think Carolina does have a chance if Carolina gets there. But, yes, to answer your question, I do think they're a little overhyped. I do have Arizona coming in the bracket to get to the Final Four.
Carolina, to me, the thing that happened in the ACC tournament that – really would give me some confidence in them is Justin Jackson became a real player in the tournament.
Yep.
And if that's going to continue,
yep,
that's really scary for everybody else because Bryce Johnson is really good. If you've got him going and Tokido going, and then you've got the size down low, that makes Carolina really scary. And I'm tempted with the Carolina over Wisconsin thing as well, just because I agree with Chris. I think the one thing that Wisconsin is lacking with the athletes. Now, we'll see if they
–
and the other thing is they're talking about just throwing Trayvon Jackson back in this lineup, and then the question is how much is that going to disrupt things? You know, nobody's really mentioning that, but, you know, saw it with Duke with Kyrie Irving and, you know, Johnson – you know, Jackson's nothing like Kyrie Irving, but, I mean, it totally disrupted the entire team. So, I mean, who the heck knows? I mean, you never know. Something like that, it might sound great that we're getting this guy back, but he could kind of – it could disrupt some things.
Des Wells is capable of reaching a high level on the college game, but Wisconsin trying to guard him, they had nobody that could possibly guard him as a 2-3. And Carolina, this isn't one of the, you know, vintage Carolina teams, but, you know, you see enough athletes, and you know Roy's going to push the tempo. They get that tempo up, and Wisconsin – I mean, their strength, we talked about it earlier, is on the offensive end, not the defensive end. That game becomes a little bit scoring at a higher margin than they want to, and I think they go out. One thing Wisconsin really should be looking at is Kevin Itzke. He's a great college player. He's going to go make a good amount of money. I see a guy, you know, seven-footer, another guy who wants to sit out beyond the arc taking threes. If he really should be just sitting in the post for the next couple of weeks. But, you know, that's me.
The one thing I would say with Wisconsin and Carolina, I think if they matched up together, I would like Carolina to win. The only thing is Wisconsin, they're so disciplined, and Carolina will turn the ball over against them, and Wisconsin's not going to turn it over against them. But the one thing I will agree with, what I think Seth was kind of alluding to, is I think if right now, if you had to put money on which team is likely to get to the Sweet 16, you'd put a lot more money on Wisconsin than you would Carolina. So when doing the bracket, it's like, you know, while I might like that matchup, I don't know if I like it enough to pick it because I don't know that Carolina's going to get there. So then all of a sudden, it's like now one of your lead eight
teams.
That's
my point. When we get to the East, I'll have another team like that, which you probably know already, but I feel the same way that's how I feel. I feel like, yes, they can beat Wisconsin, but can they beat Arkansas in round two or three, whatever the hell they call it now? That's my fear with Carolina.
Two things about Wisconsin. They don't turn it over, and the other thing is they don't foul.
Right.
And that that can go a long way. They play smart.
Oh, yeah.
I like Decker a lot. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think they could be pushed in their second round game against Oregon or Oklahoma State.
Yeah, Chris, they don't foul, But the Big Ten is not loaded with athletic teams either. Like I think that they would, you know, you bring up the lack of athleticism. I think that would show a little bit more against Carolina. I mean, we saw, I mean, Virginia, I mean, Notre Dame is not like some great athletic team, but Notre Dame is a team that will attack all the time. And Virginia, they had a lot of fouls in that game against Notre Dame where they lost in the ACC tournament. And because Notre Dame attacked, so I kind of wonder if, and Virginia is a lot more athletic than Wisconsin is, but I just wonder, like, what would happen.
They also,
you know,
swallowed their the whistle in the Big Ten. Definitely saw that this year, which was
right.
Trimble and Wells were great at getting to the line, but that was really something to be said, because game after game in the Big Ten, you would just see plays that would definitely be called fouls in the ACC, where just they just let them play. And I think we traditionally see in the national tournament that games are called a little bit closer.
Now, the one team we haven't really talked much about is Arizona. To me, they are the elite team in this bracket. Are you guys in agreement with that? Is this a team that you think is the team to beat in this bracket?
I think Arizona to win the tournament, so yeah, I think they're the...
I worry a little bit about the competition all year. I know I'm big on that. I always am. It wasn't a great Pac-12 either. Like I said, my complaint about Wisconsin is pretty much my same complaint about Arizona, to be fair.
Three teams in the tournament. Big Ten had seven.
And the thing with Arizona is they're out of conference games. Yeah, I mean, they beat Gonzaga. They beat San Diego State. I mean, they beat some decent teams, but they beat those teams at home, and they were only able to beat them by a couple of points. So it's not like they were blowing away the out-of-conference schedule either. And I think they lost to UNLV too, if I'm not mistaken. So I mean, So I mean, they're. I think they are a really, really good team, but I agree with Seth. It's that whole thing. Who did you play and who did you beat? That's why some people were like, "Well, they should be a one seed." No, they shouldn't, because they won the Pac-12. Who cares? I mean, what is that? They didn't beat anybody. So that's the thing. But I think they're very, very good, and they've got pros, and Sean Miller is a great coach, but. I think if they're in another bracket with some of the one seeds and everything, I think are clearly better one seeds than Arizona would have been, and people are acting like they should have gotten it, and I just don't agree.
Think you're pointing to the resume, which is true, but the other side is you didn't have the opportunity to play them, and if you look at Arizona and their roster, like you said, outside of Kentucky, they probably have the most pros going. I think Kentucky's clearly the best team in the tournament. I don't think that's a big thing. I think everybody agrees there. The only reason I'm taking Arizona to win is really just the idea of taking somebody different, frankly.
Yeah. If you can find that team that can beat Kentucky, absolutely. Go for it if you're confident. Take a stand. I'd love to build myself.
The only other team, it's frankly the only team I could come up with when I look at
Duke. I think Duke, too. I think Duke has a chance that they're at their best. But
Duke's problem is Kentucky, we mentioned this earlier, can Okafor get their front line into foul trouble, or will they get Okafor into foul trouble? And then
more than likely.
Duke has two problems, okay, and I guess we could just move to the South bracket. Duke has two problems. Number one, they don't play consistent defense, which is an issue in the tournament. And they're like Carolina defensively. Sometimes they're engaged, sometimes they're not.
When they are, they're good.
Right, exactly. And then Okafor late in games. You don't want to take him out, but if you're a team and you're in a close game, he gets the ball, you have to foul him. I mean, you have to. He doesn't even have a bad stroke at the free throw line, but he doesn't make any of them. So you have to take him out of the game. So that is a real big problem for Duke. Duke has two lottery picks. Most people think Tyus Jones is a late first-round pick if he comes out this year. They're only playing eight guys, but they would only play eight guys anyway. If Suleiman was there and they would be nine deep, no, they wouldn't, because Grayson Allen wouldn't be playing. So they would only be going eight deep anyway. So I'm not worried about the depth. And they've got some size because Plumlee and Jefferson have some size, and they're both great offensive rebounders. I think the disruption of the Kentucky length on Duke's perimeter players, it would be the difference in that game, though. I think talent-wise, Duke is the only team that can play with them, maybe Arizona as well. But that's about it. But in terms of a matchup, I don't think it's the greatest matchup in the world for Duke.
Yeah.
We know.
No, that's yeah. I agree. Agreed. It's just if you're trying to find a team that could hang with them, those would be the two. And then my beloved LSU team, which we'll get to in a minute, because they have the size too. But we'll get there.
Yeah. Now, one of the other teams in Duke's bracket who has the size and everything else is the Zags. A lot of people are taking Gonzaga to get to the Final Four, and I've seen even some people having them in the finals. I know Jay Williams had him in the finals, and I think one of the other guys on ESPN had him in the finals as well. So when you're looking at the South bracket, who are the teams that stand out to you that could take Duke out in this bracket? Chris, go ahead.
I do have Gonzaga going to the Final Four. I think you look at that second round, third round, whatever you call it for Duke, San Diego State and St. John's. I don't know if San Diego State's going to score enough. St. John's, and some people are kind of like some of their talent, Harrison and Porter, but they had the recent suspension at their center. I don't know if I really see. I think Duke has enough that they get through either one of those two games. Utah, if they get past Austin, I think Utah's an interesting team that could push Duke just because they would have somebody to match up with Okafor. But I would expect Duke to get through that as well. I think Duke really should pretty easily get to the Elite Eight and then have a Gonzaga or Iowa State there at the bottom to push them to get to the Final Four. I'm taking Gonzaga just because I think this is the Zags' best team that they've had. I believe in Pugh as a coach. I know on the board it's an unpopular pick. A lot of people are down in Gonzaga based off of some of their failures in previous tournaments, but seen them a few times the last few weeks. They had the SEC transfer I'm forgetting about. It's a pretty deep roster.
Wiltshire.
Obviously, he's the not him. They had the USC not transfer, Wesley.
Wesley, Byron Wesley.
Yeah. So it's a, that's a deep team. Got length and size and got guards as well. If it's not this team, I don't know which Gonzaga team it's ever going to be.
So. That's a great point. I
think they have a scary second round matchup. I know a lot of people are picking Davidson in that game. I don't think Davidson's got an. I think Iowa's actually going to beat Davidson. I actually really like Davidson. I just don't think Iowa's a great matchup for them. And Davidson can score, but even if Davidson does get there, the size of Gonzaga will drive them crazy. But if Davidson is hot from three, I think that could be a dangerous game for the Zags. I think Iowa State is, the team that some people are talking about, but I don't think enough people are talking about their style of play, the talent they have out there. I think that the Zags are going to beat them because of size, but Iowa State, I think, is a pretty scary team, and it would not shock me to see them in the Final Four.
Yeah, they'd be my choice. I believe he's going to coach the next level. Yeah. Maryland saw them early in the year. Maryland beat them on a neutral court. That was they have a point guard, steady point guard, and then got size, and they have some athleticism as well with Dejon Jones. So that's a team that you could see it. I kind of feel like Duke would have enough to get past them if they were to match up. The interesting game in that bracket to me, the one I wanted to bring up was a lot of people are pointing to Georgetown, Eastern Washington. A lot of people calling Eastern Washington for the win. But how about SMU and UCLA? Everyone's saying UCLA was undeserving of a bid. Do you think anybody calling for them to get past Brown and SMU?
Yeah, they're right. UCLA was not deserving of a bid. I like SMU. I actually think SMU could beat Iowa State. I actually think they could, but I do have Iowa State and Duke as my Elite Eight, but I think SMU is a nice sleeper. If you're looking for a six seed that could do some damage, I really like that team.
Yeah, I first of all, UCLA is a joke. I mean, they're and the fact that they're not in one of the final, you know, the last four in games is just as bad.
They were in. They got in safely, right?
Yeah, the fact that they're in the tournament, much less safely in, and the rationale that they gave, well, you know, they really started to come on as of late. Well, they're 4-3 in their last seven games. I mean, in a weak conference, so I don't understand that at all. I don't know how you leave off some of the teams that they left. If you can't make this field, then you know you're not really, you don't really get screwed over, so to speak. But still, I mean, some of the teams like Temple. There's no way that you can take UCLA and put them in over Temple. I'm sorry, you just can't.
Temple beat Kansas by 20.
Yeah, by like 20. Temple, right. Yeah, I mean they just the other game.
Destroyed Kansas.
Yeah, the other team that people are really kind of picking to go deep, and I'm one of them. I'm in the Sweet 16 is Stephen F. Austin. You know, they won last year. They beat VCU in a 5-12 game. They have an outstanding defense. I mean, offense. They're a veteran team. They've got size. They've got everything. So, and then people look. Utah has lost like three or four games down the stretch. Georgetown seems to be maybe the most overseeded team in the tournament. I know some people are saying, well, they did good in a strong conference, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the fact that they're only two spots on the seed line behind Maryland. Maryland was the 14th seed overall, and Georgetown is a 16th seed overall. I don't see how they're that close.
It doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I mean, Eastern Washington, Eastern Washington can score. I don't know that they can hang with Georgetown athletically, but as Seth knows, Georgetown is always a disappointment in the tournament, so who the heck knows?
No.
But I have Austin going far, so what do you guys think about the 5-12 in that bracket?
I did take Stephen F. Austin over Utah, but I did have Georgetown. I have Georgetown in the Sweet 16 against Duke, so I really think it's an easy, pretty easy ride for Duke, at least to the Elite Eight, but I don't have I wanted to pick Eastern Washington, but the year, you know, me with Georgetown, the year I picked Georgetown to lose early, they'll probably win the national championship. So I just went with Georgetown there to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, Stephen F. Austin, 19 from KenPom. They force a lot in offensive efficiency. They force a lot of turnovers. But, you know, Utah, I like Taylor and got to like Wright, so I like them to. To win that game.
I mean, look, I think a lot of people, I mean, I picked it, but I mean, I think some people maybe are sleeping a little bit on Utah. For me, I mean, they're eighth in KenPom, they're efficient offense, they're really good defense, but for me, it's, again, you know, who did you beat because of your conference and you didn't play well down the stretch? That's the big thing for me. But I think if Utah were to play Duke in the Sweet 16, I think that's a scary game for Duke because DeLone Wright would probably tear up Duke's perimeter defense, which will cause them a lot of problems elsewhere. I want to go back to Chris talking about the Duke's the 8-9 matchup. I think they got real fortunate with the teams that they would play. Now, St. John's did almost beat them this year. You know, that was when Krzyzewski won the 1,000th game. Duke had to come back. So St. John's did almost beat them. Duke had to come back from 10 down to beat them. But like Chris said, Obeka is out. But here's the thing. San Diego State should beat St. John's, and San Diego State is really good defensively, but they don't score. And, you know, Duke's problems this year have been against teams that can shoot and teams that can score. And they don't have those teams on their half of the bracket. Georgetown maybe to some extent, but that's why their bracket played out well for them because they don't have the matchup nightmares. Like, if they had had – If LSU was the 9 seed in their bracket, that would have been a scary team for Duke to play in the second round.
Yeah.
Because of their style. That would have been a really, really scary team for them. So they got just fortunate. Again, the tournament is all about matchups, and Duke got now they've got two teams in Iowa State and Gonzaga who can score and can give them a lot of problems. So the bottom half of the bracket isn't the greatest matchup, but they only have to play one of those teams. So, you know, that a little fortunate there for what they were able to draw.
Agreed.
Okay, let's move to the East, the final bracket here. Villanova got the 1. Virginia ended up getting the 2. Did you guys agree with Virginia getting a 2 seed and not ending up with a 1?
I did, yeah. Virginia, like, again, back to the schedule. People were arguing Duke over Virginia, or excuse me, Virginia over Duke. I think that's insane. I think it was very well properly seeded, I should say.
I've seen people arguing that a lot on the boards. Well, not just our board, but Facebook, Twitter, because I Obviously, I'm connected to a lot of Terps fans and a lot of hate for Duke, but I you know, I've had to argue for Duke, and that obviously makes me sick. But but I just don't see how you can line up the resume of Duke and Virginia and say Virginia had an edge there. You know, Duke, Virginia, and the ACC schedule's unbalanced. So you're playing, you know, who cares if they won the regular season? They're not playing the same schedule. And then beyond that, with Anderson, I know he's sort of back now, but he's obviously not quite right. So I don't know how you can look at Virginia at the end of the year and think they deserve a number one seed.
Yeah, I think people, that was the one argument that people kept saying was, well, Virginia won the regular season, and that should mean something. Well, not anymore. Look, if this was back in the old ACC where you played each team twice and you win the conference, then I think that matters. But right now, I mean, Duke plays basically every good team twice, except they didn't get Louisville at home and they didn't get Virginia at home. They only got to play them once, and they had to go on the road for both of them. So, you know, and they beat them both. So, I mean, you can't overlook that. I mean, you just can't. I mean, Duke probably has the two best wins that any team has all year, beating a healthy Virginia team on the road and beating Wisconsin on the road. So, you know, you can't – and the fact that you're kind of – if they're close, the fact that they beat them head-to-head on the road has to mean something there. I mean, you can't just overlook that. But I actually think you can argue that the bigger point is the one that Chris just made, and that's Justin Anderson. And because of Justin Anderson's finger, I don't know what to think about Virginia going into this tournament, because if Michigan State beats Georgia, which I would expect them to do, this is not as good a Michigan State team as they've had. They don't have as much talent and all that kind of stuff, but they are playing well right now, and that is a extremely scary team for Virginia.
I'm taking Izzo all day over Virginia in that second.
Yeah.
I have it now, Virginia. I'm sorry, I have it too,
because I don't believe in Justin Anderson right now. Chris, I don't know how much you watch the ACC tournament games, because I know some of the Big Ten stuff was going on at the same time, but I watched both Virginia games, and he was awful. I mean, he wasn't engaged defensively. He couldn't shoot. I mean, he couldn't do anything. He was not – and we're just talking about a broken finger.
He just had the appendix, too. He's obviously not right. Now, it's another week on. He'll be that much stronger. And I'm sure if they can survive this first weekend, I'm sure he'll be that much better if they can get a little bit further into the tournament. But, I mean, he's clearly their most athletic, gifted player. And he does so much for them on both ends of the floor, ability to create and ability to defend. I mean, not having them, that's horrible. And I say I don't really believe in Virginia. That's probably too much. What they've accomplished the last 2 years is to be respected. But they're going to play a game that's low scoring, and that's going to feed into Michigan State. And this is not a super talented Michigan State team, but they're going to ugly it up. They're going to battle you on the boards. And Michigan State has improved their depth during the year. I believe in Izzo in March. I'm going to go roll with that. So
now, Seth, I know you're not as high on Virginia either. What are your thoughts on them in a potential matchup with Michigan State?
Don't sleep on Belmont. That's all I'll say about Virginia.
Belmont
is going to give them a game.
I agree.
Virginia's going to beat Belmont. Belmont will give them a game, and they go up and down and up and down. And somehow, Belmont can get Virginia to play their game. Ricker might be crying on whatever they play in a couple, Thursday or Friday. But no, they should beat that game, win that game. I have them losing to Michigan State in the second one. Yes, absolutely. It is a shame, because as much as we battled on the board and joked around about Virginia being weak, yes, all things being equal, if Anderson was 100%, I would have Virginia probably at worst in the Sweet 16 Elite Eight of this bracket. But with Anderson, we watched him on Friday against North Carolina. He was, atrocious is the word. And you hate to say it about a kid who's obviously, wants to be out there and he wants to help his team, and that's so admirable when he just shouldn't be out there. He was atrocious against North Carolina. He didn't cost them the game by any stretch. But there were a few times when I think he was getting back in the game, they'd cut it to five, they'd cut it to four, and he would take a three. He took two threes that were just I mean, they were terrible. It looked like I was shooting them. It was two air balls. It was terrible. And he dribbled a ball. He tried to dribble, and clearly he couldn't even dribble. He dropped it, you know, off his knee or whatever. He's not himself, like Chris said. And it is a shame. But, yeah, I have him losing Michigan State. Go back to what we were talking about. I think Michigan State's playing a lot better than they did the first time we went back when Maryland beat them back over the holidays. Michigan State's pretty good. They had Wisconsin beat on Sunday. There's no doubt about it. They had Wisconsin beat and blew that game at the end and didn't score in overtime. But, yeah, definitely Michigan State, who was underseeded, should. I think they might even be, you know, as far as the Vegas line goes, they might be a 1 or 2 point favorite against Virginia if they both get to the second round.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think if you were to tell me that at the Sweet 16 you can redo your brackets and Virginia has gotten through, I would take Virginia to the Final Four. I don't like this bracket all that much. There's no team that jumps out at me all that much. But I think that Virginia, I kind of look at Virginia in kind of a similar way as what I said about Carolina. Just kind of in the opposite. Like I would take Virginia far in this bracket if I trusted the fact that I thought that they could get through the first weekend. And if Anderson is not healthy, and because I agree with Chris, if you get through the first weekend, you have to like, I mean, we're just talking about a broken finger here. It should be healed within the next couple of weeks. So if they get through this weekend, I think you really like Virginia's chances. But I don't – of course, we say this and Georgia beats Michigan State or something. But
of course.
But I think Virginia,
Georgia,
it's
I mean,
just
the only
that
time
timing.
I saw them this year was against Kentucky where they, you know, they played them tough.
They did. They had a great game.
But
– and I actually – you joke about Belmont. I think Belmont has the best chance of winning of any of the 15 seeds just because of the situation.
No question. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good game. I mean, I don't have the line in front of me, but actually I'm going to get that because while you guys are talking, I'll pull that up because I'll bet you, no pun intended, that's the 2-14 line that's the closest.
I would say it's no more than 12 points, I wouldn't think.
I mean, look,
Belmont was a 15 when they almost beat Duke in the tournament. Belmont is now, this is not as good a Belmont team as normal, but this is a team, they have a really good coach, and they know how to win, and they know how to get to the tournament. So you can't dismiss, I don't think they're going to beat them, but you can't dismiss it.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I would agree with, you know, barring, you know, making a bunch of free throws late or that type of thing, I think it's going to be a close game, and I think Virginia wins, but I don't think they win that much into the double figures, if at all.
Actually, the line's pretty high, 16. So
really?
I was wrong about that. It was 16.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
That's one to jump on, I think. So let's get away from Virginia. Let's talk about the one seed in this bracket. Villanova is ranked really highly in all of the statistics that you like to see, but yet I still can't trust them. So, Chris, what are your thoughts on Villanova?
A lot of guard play, including Baltimore's own Phil Booth. I think he went to St. Joe. I think they've won 16 in a row or something going into the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They have 13 top 50 wins. Not a lot of NBA talent, I don't think, mm-hmm. or at least no lottery picks. But, I mean, they've won a lot. Big East was pretty well-regarded this year. And you look at who they're going to be playing those first couple. Well, you obviously get past Lafayette, and then right away into that third round with NC State and LSU. I mean, that's kind of a danger game, I think, for them. I mean, they're going to play teams, I think, that probably have the same level of athletes they do, and you could possibly go out there. If they get past that, I would like them to get to the Elite Eight, which I do have them in the Elite Eight. Louisville doesn't score enough for me. And, mm-hmm. you know, the 5-12 with Northern Iowa and Wyoming, I think that's pretty much a pick 'em. I'm going to go with Wyoming just to pull the upset there.
I think Villanova, and I think Seth will agree, I think Villanova got screwed with who they have to play in the second round. That's a terrible,
they definitely did.
Terrible team.
Terrible.
It doesn't matter who wins that game. It's terrible for them to have to play one of those two teams. I mean, NC State, with their guard play, and they've got – see, the one thing Villanova doesn't have, they don't have a lot of size. So Villanova's – I mean, NC State and LSU have size. LSU has more. They have size. NC State has great guard play. They can score. LSU has pros. I mean, it's an off – I think Villanova's done in the first weekend again. I picked NC State to beat LSU because LSU, you just can't trust them 100%. And the fact that Cat Barber is going to be able to play, you know, he was cleared as of Friday. So I think that NC State's guard play is going to be the difference. But Villanova, you know, I was going through and picking like who I thought like the 8-9 and 7-10 teams, like who do you not want to play? Those were two of the teams that you don't want to play, and the fact that they're matched up against each other means you have to play one of them, and that's really bad. That's just bad luck for them.
Yeah, it really is. I think as LSU has been my adopted team all year, as you guys have noted on the board, and I honestly feel, and this is going to sound crazy, I honestly feel if LSU can get by NC State, they waltz to the Elite Eight. I mean, they waltz to the Elite Eight. I think they'll beat Villanova. I think they'll beat Louisville or Wyoming or Northern Iowa. I'm not going to say handily, but I think they'll beat them. I think NC State, for LSU's matchup, with their talent, and I feel like they have two or three lottery picks, LSU. They're very young. But I think LSU, if they beat NC State, which will be a tougher game to me, the Villanova or Louisville-Northern Iowa matchup, I'd really, really feel that way. I don't know if I can press that LSU button over NC State because they could lose by 20 because they're an undisciplined team too, but... Yeah, I really think the LSU-NC State winner easily gets to the Elite Eight, maybe even the Final Four.
Yeah, I see. For me, I actually, in this bracket, I have Oklahoma going to the Final Four, which just makes me sick because I don't really like that team. But they are efficient offensively and defensively, and they've gone through a very tough schedule and a very, very good conference. And the fact that Virginia is banged up, I don't believe in Villanova. Michigan State, even if I think they're going to beat Virginia, this is not the normal Michigan State teams. I don't like really any of the teams in this bracket. So it would not surprise me if the 8-9 winner ends up being the team of this bracket. I've been saying it for a little while now. They play really good defense, but I am a total non-believer in Louisville this year for the exact reason that Chris said. They don't score.
They can't score, yeah.
They are an extremely vulnerable four seed, even against UC Irvine. That's not the team. A lot of people thought when we had John Gassaway on our show last week, he was talking about UC Davis as the team to kind of watch out for out of that conference, and they didn't come out of it. So, you know, if it was them, I might actually take them, but they might even be a higher seed than that. But I think Louisville is really dangerous. I mean is in a lot of trouble. I know a lot of people are looking at the UNI Wyoming game like Chris did and picking Wyoming. I think Northern Iowa is a scary team because they can play defense. They've got a really good player. They play a style that you're not used to playing with, you know, four guards out there around one sort of big guy that can score and is, you know, they do PER for college basketball, and Seth Tuttle was at one point, he was actually just behind Kaminsky and ahead of Okafor this year in PER, and that was late in the season. So
he's a good player.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is not a normal mid-major team. Northern Iowa, similar to like what Wichita State, that's not a normal mid-major. So I think that there are a lot of decent teams. I mean, it's like I have Dayton going to the Sweet 16 again. You know, I'm not in love with Providence. Boise should not be in the tournament either. So, you know, there's a lot of teams. This is a bracket where I think, like, you know, up to, you know, nine teams I think could get to the Final Four out of this bracket. It wouldn't surprise me if it's at least that number, because nobody is that great.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have Wyoming beating Northern Iowa only because if you look at Wyoming, they were a top 25 team in December, and then Larry Nance Jr. got mono. Took him 2-3 months to come back to himself. Well, he's back. They just won a pretty good Mountain West. Colorado State probably should have gotten in the tournament. They probably should have got three teams in. I have Wyoming beating them, and I also have Wyoming beating Louisville. I have Wyoming in the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. So I think this bracket gets really, like you said, I think it's a bracket. If you're going to pick a long shot, you know, this is the bracket to pick. I might, and I haven't even completed this bracket yet. I'm leaning towards having LSU in the Final Four, which maybe they might lose in the first round. I also might take Providence in the Final Four. I like Providence a lot more than you do. I think they easily beat Boise or Dayton. Not as high on Oklahoma as you, although they played a lot. They got a lot of close losses. They blew games where they led Iowa State by double digits late in the second half in the last, like, 3 weeks.
Yep.
So they're good, but I have Providence getting by there. I think Providence will beat Michigan State. So my Elite Eight is likely to be Providence and LSU, which sounds nuts as I'm looking at my bracket. But it's in this East Regional, I think it's feasible.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, look, you have a vulnerable one seed. As good as they've been all season, they're a vulnerable team who has lost early in recent tournaments. And you have a vulnerable two seed because you don't know what's going to happen with Justin Anderson. I mean, when those two things are the case, it opens up the entire bracket. I mean that's just
correct.
The bottom line. If you're really unsure about the one and the two seeds, the entire bracket is totally opened up, and that's why there's not many Elite Eight matchups that you could bring up in this bracket that would be like, yeah, that there's no way that could happen. There just really aren't.
And in a tournament where it really looks like that Kentucky is the likely winner to win your bracket, you've got to figure out who's going to get to the Final Four around Kentucky. Well, everyone's going to have Duke, more than likely. Everyone's going to have Arizona, Wisconsin. This is the bracket that if you're going to pick an LSU, a Providence, a Wyoming, or whatever, this is the bracket to do it. The only way you're going to win, because everyone's going to have those 50 points or whatever for Kentucky winning it all, here's where you got to take a stand and pick a low shot.
Well, I mean, if you're looking for the 8-9 to beat Villanova, I think, you know, obviously NC State, LSU, they've both beaten a number of quality teams, you know, with LSU, with West Virginia and Arkansas, NC State with Duke, Louisville, Carolina. But it's, you know, which team shows up. And I guess I'm going to lean and take Villanova. I didn't feel great about that. I definitely thought they could go out in that round. But I'll take Villanova and the consistency that they've shown over the year, and I said I had them Elite Eight, but I actually had them beating Michigan State to get to the Final Four there.
What's your pick in that LSU NC State game, Chris?
I had let me see the official Stoner bracket here. We had only do one bracket. I think you only can have one bracket. That's me. I had LSU.
Sheet of integrity.
Yeah, sheet of integrity, right? I had LSU. Yeah, that looked like a pickup to me, but
NC State's actually a 2.5-point favorite. But that's like my favorite game of the tournament. Like LSU's going to be. And I said this about Maryland and Carolina already. LSU's a top five team next year, assuming Mickey and Martin stay in school. They're top five next year preseason. I mean, this team is talent wise. They're going to send more guys to the pros than everybody but Duke, Kentucky, and Arizona. This team's nasty. They're really good.
Yeah, and they got Ben Simmons coming in next year. So.
And they got Ben Simmons next year, right? Oh my God, that's great. That's gonna be way more fun than this.
It'd be nice if they could get a real coach.
That's true.
So, for me, I'm leaning Oklahoma, but I'm kind of like Seth. I haven't completely finished that bracket just because I hate it so much that I almost don't want to finish it.
I just keep changing it. Right.
So, Seth, okay, so, Chris, you have Arizona and Kentucky on the one half, and you had the Zags and Villanova on the other half. Seth, who do you have? You had Arizona and Kentucky as well. Who do you have on the other half in the Final Four?
Arizona, Kentucky, Duke, and I'm going to say Providence right now, but that's subject to change. So, Kentucky, Arizona, and Duke, Providence. God, I really want to pick LSU, but I think they have a 50-50 chance of losing on Thursday night, so... Yeah, Kentucky, Arizona, Duke, and Providence right now for my Final Four.
Now, do you think Providence is going to do the Duke what they did before?
Austin Crozier's not walking through that door. I have Kentucky over Duke in the championship game. I know it's Captain Obvious. I'm not going out on a limb there, but that's it. Those are the two best teams in the country. I've said it all year, and I'll stand by it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I have the same result. Before the show came out, I was actually prepared to not take Duke to the Final Four, but I think that they got a favorable bracket. Again, their Elite Eight matchup could be tough if it's one of the Zags or Iowa State, but there's no guarantee that either of them will be there. So I think they got a pretty reasonable matchup. I do think that they will struggle to beat one of those two teams if they play them, though. But yeah. I think, again, I think their chances of getting to the Elite Eight are really good, and they're very strong. And, you know, those two teams, you know, they're not, like, juggernauts or anything like that. I just think they play a style that could bother Duke. Is there kind of wrapping this up, is there any team, and who is the team? I guess, Seth, for you, it's LSU. Or maybe even Providence. Chris, who's a team for you that is under the radar that you think could really make a deep run in this tournament?
That's a good question. I mean, really, as you said a lot of times, it's the matchups there. I don't know. Under the radar, I didn't pick them. We went through it. But, I mean, Texas is a team I could see. I mean, I have them losing to Butler, but I could see Texas getting to the Elite Eight, you know, as an 11 seed. As somebody that they have in the athletic front line, and, you know, you're not going to over-athlete Texas. So I could see them getting past Notre Dame there in that next round, and then beating either a wounded Kansas team or the winner of Indiana, Wichita State. That I could see that. That's probably about the deepest I could see a sleeper getting.
That's now, 11 seeds, a heck of a sleeper, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
I mean 11 look, seed, but, I mean, it's Texas, so it's really...
By talent and everything, they're ridiculously underseeded, I mean. But by actual wins and what they did this year, you could have made the argument they shouldn't even been in the tournament. But I tend to agree. I think they're a really scary team. You know, Seth mentioned SMU. SMU is a team that people aren't talking about. They, you know, and it's a shame for them that Monday went overseas, or we might be talking to them about them as a one seed right now, and, you know, one of the favorites. But I agree with you again, because, you know, there are some, you know, Iowa State. You know, you mentioned the Oklahoma comebacks, and Iowa State had the same thing against Texas. The problem is you're also losing those games. So, you know, what happens when you get up against a team that, you know, they get up on you by 10 or 12 points late? You can't guarantee that you're always going to be able to keep coming back. And that's the one thing about that. And the problem with Iowa State, they don't play good defense. So, you know, it's not that shocking if SMU, I think, were to be that Cinderella, you know, below a top four seed team that could make a run into the Elite Eight or something. That I think that's a very good possibility. I actually also think Xavier, I have them losing early, but I think Xavier actually could cause some damage. They've got some size. They've got some skill. It wouldn't surprise me if they made some kind of a run in this tournament either as a six seed. But again, it's more because I just, you know, Baylor, I think, is vulnerable in certain ways, even though they're good. But I think SMU is definitely a team to watch because of the half of their bracket. There are some inconsistencies there.
Agreed.
As an Elite Eight team or a Sweet 16 team for SMU?
I think that they could be. I won't. I'm not picking it, but I think they could be an Elite Eight team. I do. You know, this is. You know, they're a quality team. I mean, this is not, you know, I know that they don't play in a strong conference. The American, you know, that conference is not good. But, I mean, we're talking about a team. They're 19th in KenPom. I mean, they're 24th in offense. They're 43rd in defense. And, you know, that's not great, but it's not bad. You know, I don't think a team has won a national title being ranked outside the top 25 since the KenPom ranking started in 2002. So, you know, you kind of look for that type of thing. But, you know, the thing is, the KenPom rankings, the one thing people kind of forget about them is they keep going, and teams shoot up the charts in this thing as they move into the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like Connecticut last year was like, I think they started like outside the 30s and they ended up like 8th. So, you know, their stuff really moves like crazy. So what the numbers look like right now may not necessarily be what they're gonna what you look at. It's what you can maybe project it out to be.
I just see a lot of parity across, you know, across the board. I mean, you just see a number of teams in every bracket that could, even teams that you're picking against, you know, you can make reasonable arguments for them getting to at least a Sweet 16. So,
no doubt.
I had a more difficulty filling out this bracket than I had in the last couple of years, at least.
Yeah,
I've
changed
mine several times already.
Yeah, I feel like I say that like every year, but I really truly believe that this is the hardest year because, you know, beyond Kentucky, I mean, taking Kentucky out, everybody else is very vulnerable. I mean, they really are. I mean, they all have things that you can point to, no matter how good their regular season was, no matter who they beat, they have things that you can point to and be like, that team is in a lot of trouble in this tournament because of this or that. You don't find that with Kentucky. That doesn't mean they can't be beaten, but it just isn't there. But everybody else is extremely vulnerable. And the thing is, the tournament, you know, the last several years, the average seeds in the Final Four total 17. I have a hard time coming up with finding a team in each region where you combine their seeds and it's 17. I really struggle with that. I don't think this is going to be the year that happens. You know, I think this is going to be, I don't think all four number ones are going to get there, but I don't think anybody above a three I don't have is going there. And while there are teams capable, it's hard for me to see it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at some of the 4-13 games, and you know, you could easily see you could see Irvine beat Louisville because it'll be a fairly low scoring game, I think, and then you're looking at the winner of Northern Iowa, Wyoming. I mean, it wouldn't be shocking to see a Sweet 16 berth there.
I have Wyoming in the Sweet 16, probably.
Right, I did too, but I'm saying like UC Irvine, like.
Right.
I mean, it just wouldn't shock me to see. I mean, they get past Louisville, and then they're looking at Northern Iowa, Wyoming. They're not gonna. Their eyes aren't gonna be
right,
that wide.
They're not looking to do it right. Yeah, you never know. It's great. Eastern Washington and Stephen F. Austin second round matchup. I mean, you can see it.
Very possible.
Everybody can see
it. Very
possible. Very
possible. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
No
That's
doubt.
Why you gotta love March. Always such a great time of year, especially that first
so
weekend,
fun.
And just.
Yeah, it's so fun to talk about, too. We could sound like, you know, we could listen to this back in a week, and we could make fun of each other. Seth, you said LSU and Providence.
Yeah.
Neither of them won a game. You know what I mean? That's my Elite Eight in the East region. They could either
right. I mean, that's what's so funny about this tournament. You can say that and you sound crazy, and if it ends up being that, you're the smartest guy in the world. But if it doesn't,
yeah,
it's like you're an idiot, you know. And that's look.
Like,
I mean,
how could you say that, right?
You sit there. I heard Jay Billis the other day. I thought what he said was right. He's like, look, the tournament is so unpredictable. You pick the teams that you think you're going to win. You have your reasoning for why you believe it, and you go with it. Be like, look, I mean, there's no science to this. I love how they, you know, when the guys win the ESPN Bracket Challenge and they'll interview them on SportsCenter and be like, you know, how did you do it? It's like, they got lucky. That's how they did it. I mean, that's really the way it is. I don't care how much
My mother went
it.
To Stephen F. Austin, so I picked the
right.
Yeah, even, I mean, you start looking at games and, you're looking at numbers and you're trying to balance out the conferences and maybe you've had a glimpse of these teams a couple of times, but, you know, Seth, for you, it's Carolina, Rob, you know, you watch every game at Duke, and myself, I watch every game of Maryland, and then you kind of bridge off of that and some of the other games you see, but you don't watch, you just don't see these teams enough to really have a great opinion of what they're capable of.
Exactly. I picked Providence in the Final Four. If I've seen 50 full minutes of Providence basketball this year, I'm probably overstating it. So, come on. Who knows? Who the hell knows?
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up now for the night. Chris, thanks for coming on tonight and co-hosting. And Seth, it was always good to talk to you guys. So, thanks for coming. I see we'll have the BYU game, so we'll all be rushing to change our brackets if Mississippi beats them tonight.
They will not be in the Sweet 16. That's right.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, thanks you guys for coming on and enjoy the tournament this weekend.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always a pleasure. Anytime.
Good times. Enjoy the tournament. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Seth. See you guys.
Thanks, guys. Take care.